Chapter 24. The Fundamental Principle of Good. No matter in what direction we might try to expand or cultivate the human consciousness, it remains an animal consciousness under all circumstances and in every situation. One of the most powerful arguments that could be given in favor of this statement is the fact that the entire human life field is equipped with consciousness. The whole nature of death is one great pulsating ocean of life. By this, we don't mean that many different forms of life are expressed in it. No, the field of the nature of death itself is life, is consciousness. For this reason, everything emanating from that consciousness and that life is of one and the same nature. Gnostic philosophy teaches that the human consciousness is composed of and by all the atoms that make up the human system. This therefore establishes the same fact. If you add a dye to a glass jug full of water, all of the water in the jug will be colored by the dye and will be given its characteristics. The universal teachings call the fact that a field of life as a whole has and is consciousness the principle of substance. The principle of substance, or the consciousness of the nature of death, gives all its creatures a consciousness out of that collective consciousness. This great consciousness can divide itself infinitely, and all these divisions or creatures can also multiply themselves or split up infinitely. But the results cannot dissociate themselves from that great consciousness. They wouldn't want to do that. They could not desire to do so. They have arisen from the law of the great nature consciousness. On the basis of that one consciousness, the human being and the animal are motivated. They are both creations from and by the great consciousness of nature. Hence, it is quite clear that no liberation is possible whatsoever in the realm of nature. If there were a possibility, it would have been found long ago. If it were a possibility, the Christ would certainly not have spoken the words, "My kingdom is not of this world." So what is the nature of death, and what is the signature of the great consciousness that operates in it? It is the signature, the consciousness of good and evil in their unleashed manifestations of power. It is a universe broken away from its moorings. It would be insane to claim that there is no good whatsoever in the nature of death, but it is a nature in which good cannot maintain itself. It is immediately annihilated in the interplay of changes. The values of good of the nature of death are therefore either delusion or they have no fundamental power. What could in fact be the fundamental principle of good? Nothing other than the spirit itself. Hence, if the spirit is lacking in the nature of death, and if this nature is separated from the spirit, this proves that this nature is not pure and unsullied, in spite of all its goodness. That also proves that the nature of death must originally have been a totally different nature, or must have belonged to a totally different nature and been separated from it due to some incident. The truth is, as all holy scriptures try to make clear to us, that the original nature and its principle of substance were absolutely neutral. They were not good, nor evil, nor a mixture of the two, but simply neutral, completely unsullied, pure, in absolute rest. There was unmanifested life or consciousness. They who know something about nature will be familiar with the fact that every nature contains extremely delicate and explosive substances and forces which can easily explode, easily run out of control, and once unleashed can keep themselves in manifestation. This is why the first human being was told to use these forces under the leadership of the spirit only, to go his path with the fruits of the tree of life, and not to deviate from this under any circumstances. The present-day human being is a product of the disaster that was once unleashed. He possesses the nature of that disaster. He participates in the disaster. He has great knowledge of good and evil. We deny that good. We also deny that evil because it is not real. Humanity suffers the sorrows of delusion. It is tortured by unreality. It lives in time, but time is fiction, and so it does not live absolutely. Lost in the depths of his microcosm, a spark of the origin is left. If that spark is not totally extinguished, a call can be heard like a voice from far, far away. This is a call to return to the original nature that exists in its unsullied state, and where the spirit can be active, where the spirit is active. Delusion plus delusion remains delusion. The spirit does not descend into it to associate with it. First, the volcano has to become extinct. The unleashed fire has to burn itself out and cause its own extinction. Jacob Boehm says of this that God has closed off unholiness. However, this does not deny the fact that many divine sparks are imprisoned in this unholiness. This is why the Lord of all life and the Gnosis standing in his service comes to lead his own out of the burning fire. For the aim is the kingship of the spirit, the alchemical wedding of Christian Rosicross. The powerful drama of the nature of death is that every human being is led to the consciousness and the experience that he is living in a hell. As soon as that consciousness has become yours in the violent storms of good and evil, and that consciousness is an absolute knowledge formed out of experience, you can make an attempt to seek and find the true state of consciousness in unity with God.